Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
319!
Aaron Rodgers fires one up the right seam for Lazard. He's got it at the 5 into the end zone. That's a jet touchdown.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's been a while. I felt great. I had a lot of gratitude.
They run Mason off the left side, a cutback run. Touchdown!
Today's guests, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, hosts of the Heed the Call podcast, Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. And now, it's Rich
Eisen.
That's
right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody, live on the Roku Sports Channel and Sirius XM Odyssey. Tune in, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners, listening whenever they darn well please. It is their God-given right, and also sitting in your RSS feed right now should be the week one edition of Overreaction Monday that Chris Brockman and I recorded right after class yesterday, and over 150,000 of you already downloaded it on YouTube alone. So we appreciate everybody out there.
Thank you.
Certainly checking us out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over 800,000 subscribers and growing on that front. We're all over the map, which is what we love on this program in terms of guests. Our first guest is the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. Our final guest is a senator in the United States Senate, who happens to be an Arizona Cardinals fan and also an author, which is what he's coming on to talk about. Maustronaut saves the world because, you know, Mark Kelly's also an astronaut.
Oh, right.
I don't know if there's any other senator slash astronaut slash Cardinals fans there are on the planet. I think we've got the unicorn coming up in hour number three.
That Venn diagram is really,
very small.
Really
very, very
small.
Very, small. Very, very small. And then our old buddies from back in the day, the hosts of the Heed the Call podcast,
yes.
Dan Hansus and Mark Sessler will be here hanging out in hour number two. And we'll have a group hug because they're fans of the Jets and the Browns. And so they need a hug. And that's in hour number two of this program.
Poor guys.
Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday will be on this show. I've got a top five list of the top five best performers of week number one. And that's how I turn it over to you, Chris, and say hello on this Tuesday to you, sir.
Hello, Rich. AFC East is 3-0. Oh, we were undefeated.
Okay. Good to see this guy to your left.
Mikey.
Who's that person?
Oh, I forgot to. You're
DJ
here.
Mikey D is in D's nuts.
I'm back for a couple.
Oh, you must. So there must be no White Sox game on FS3 tonight.
It was the Twins, I think. Okay. I'm kidding. Joking.
FS3. Is there an FS3?
No.
By the way, the Royals swept the Twins after Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino showed up on the program.
That's not a coincidence.
I hear you. Vinny had a rough night last night. The diehard Jet fan and the Royals got beat up by the Yanks. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
Well, I mean, my team is the only one in my division that knows how to win football games,
yeah.
So I feel great today to be.
I mean, the Eagles
honest.
Look pretty darn good on Friday night in Brazil, but I understand you're very Cowboy centric over there. Very good.
I try not to pay attention to
what
the Eagles do.
Hey, listen, everybody. Let's start this program with the Monday night finisher, but it kind of starts It kind of starts, however. Oh, by the way, this is a Monday night review presented by Lowe's here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's start our show with this Monday night review, which, you know, I know it says Monday night review on the screen, but it kind of starts with last year's Super Bowl, right? Because when you lose the Super Bowl, you get a little bit of a hangover.
Well,
and the question is, how do you adjust? Well, as we saw last night, the San Francisco 49ers can adjust on the fly, to say the least. And it started with the shocking news 90 minutes before that the calf strain that Kyle Shanahan let the world know about on August 6th to let everybody know Christian McCaffrey's dealing with a calf injury. Pardon me calling it a strain, but it's a calf injury. And he's not going to play in the preseason, and he's not going to be doing much in training camp. And then cut to September 6th, last Friday, Christian McCaffrey telling the media that the calf injury is not that big of a deal to him. And then smash cut to 90 minutes before kickoff last night, and he's inactive. He is inactive.
What?
And the only question is, how can the 49ers adjust? Well, first things first, we saw in adjusting after winning the coin toss, they decided to give the ball to the opponent first. So that's a good start. And certainly because you're putting your defense out there and they're just as good as your offense, and you're wondering how the 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles injury is going to look. And sure enough, the Jets do go 3-and-out. And their offense struggled a little bit. And just when you thought maybe, just maybe, they're missing Christian McCaffrey, you start seeing, oh, they can adjust not just with Deebo Samuel, who has adjusted his uniform number. It's a little weird to see the 9 gone from his uniform.
Yeah, that took a minute for me to be like, oh, number one is
who's this draft? Who'd they draft? Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
It was Deebo Samuel out there running number one. And he was number one. And the backup to Christian McCaffrey was dropping number two on the Jets defense all night.
Hey, now.
Jordan Mason. A lot of folks might not have heard of him. A lot of you folks out there in the fantasy world might have gotten him as a backup in case McCaffrey wouldn't answer the bell with a calf injury.
That's Chris Brockman and I. We did that.
Okay.
Best ball.
Well, guess what? He did last night. How do you adjust without Christian McCaffrey? You take your third-year undrafted player out of Georgia Tech, and you give him the ball more times than you've given anybody the football in the organization since you've taken over as head coach of the 49ers. As a matter of fact, the last guy, it had been 13 years since the 49ers handed the ball to the same running back 28 times in the game. 28 times, and he runs for 147 yards and a score. And Deebo Samuel's doing his multifaceted stuff. And voila, Christian McCaffrey can sit there, standing there, looking handsome with an earbud and getting healthier for your defending NFC champion 49ers, who, by the way, signed their holdouts. Maybe this is a cautionary tale for the Bengals. You sign your holdouts, you pay them, you get them ready, and you got folks like Trent Williams, who does every snap anyway at age 36. Apparently, he needed an IV in the fourth quarter. It didn't matter. Yeah. So did the Jets defense by that point. And Brandon Ayuk, he dropped one in the end zone for a touchdown.
Peyton Manning was so pissed.
But other than that... those guys look pretty damn good. And fresh reminder, who they still have back, who's really damn good. They're Bosa. That's one guy. Yeah. And you know who's really, really, really good? And I might be missing a really. It's a guy named Fred Warner.
Oh, jeez.
Who's everywhere. Who Peanut Tillman won right out of Breece Hall's hands.
Oh, that play was so sick.
That led to the first 3 points of the night for the 49ers. And... you know who's also really good? Brock Purdy's really good. Brock Purdy, there wasn't a single... dude, you can move your head like that all you want. Like, oh, I don't know. I will say this, man. I'm sitting there all night. I didn't have a single doubt that this guy wasn't making the right move, that this guy wasn't making the right throw, that this guy wasn't seeing the field. This guy is in full, complete command of this offense. Yes, it helps to have a running back take 28 carries and run for 147 yards and a score, and to have a wide receiver who runs downhill like he's Derek friggin' Henry, you know, and even when he's tackled for loss on an end around and he's running around and the Jets are trying to track him down like a group of security trying to throw a streaker down on the ground, and he's running around for five more seconds than you think. He runs right into Sauce Gardner, who then suddenly leaves the game for about 10 minutes because he'll leave a mark on you. Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback, folks, and don't be surprised if he doesn't wind up as an MVP finalist this year again. You and I, Chris, can disagree on this for as long as you wish to disagree on it.
I mean, they kicked like six field goals.
I understand they had problems in the red zone that he didn't put it in one time. It's because he dotted one to Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk dropped it. And I am not concerned when you see a week one littered with quarterback play that was no bueno prior to the Westwood One broadcast last night of this game. I'm conducting my studio host duties, and I asked Kurt Warner a wide open question for week one. The macro question of what do you pull out of week one, Kurt? What do you want to hit on? And he says, I just watched the tape of every game before this one. I've seen it all, and it is the worst week of quarterback play I may have ever seen.
Wow. It was not great. What, and that's, two guys at 300 yards this week?
And this is why I look at what Brock Purdy did last night and say, that's really good. I didn't sit there and think for a split second that he wasn't in full command of what Kyle Shanahan wants. And you know who wasn't? Jimmy G. A lot. And who knew who wasn't last year on occasion? Brock Purdy. He has improved. Niners, just like the Cowboys, just like the Eagles this past week one. Lions at the end. Rams as well. Showed that. And the Bucks too. Showed that, hey, there might not be a lot of change in the NFC playoff picture from one year to the next. There's always a lot of change. I don't know how the NFC might be kind of chalky unless the Bears can catch the Packers, who don't have Jordan Love for a bit. Right now, the NFC looks pretty chalky to me after week one, but obviously there's a lot more to go. But so far, Niners can rest Christian McCaffrey and still boat race an opponent that a lot of people think can make the Super Bowl. Now let's get to the Jets. It's very rare you can say about a team that just got kind of punked on national television. All right? By the way, I looked at you and I said punked.
Yeah, I caught
okay.
that.
Okay, that's for you, man.
He didn't come
and
out, though.
And your buddy Ashton.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, very rare that you can say about a team like that that you come out net positive because your quarterback's healthy. Hey.
That's a good point.
Aaron Rodgers walked out. He actually played more than five snaps. He played more than one drive. But that says it all as well. That says it all as well. Rodgers, by the way, only threw it to three teammates last night. That's it. He threw it to Garrett Wilson. He threw it to Breece Hall. And he threw it to Alan Lazard. Those are the only Jets who caught a pass last night. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. You know what? It's also a problem. A championship defense that does have the massive break of the best running back in the NFL suddenly, magically going poof on the inactive list, and the backup takes the ball 28 times and jams it down your throat 147 yards. At one point, I had to make sure I heard it right. I racked it back when Joe Buck said that Jordan Mason had not had these many carries since high school.
High school, wow. Yeah, I heard that.
Didn't even have it at Georgia Tech. And there's a lot of questions as to when he found out when he was going to play
yeah.
and start. You know, yeah. that's we'll talk about that later on in the program. But the Jets found out 90 minutes before, no Christian McCaffrey. And I'm wondering if they thought, oh, we got this in the bag. Because they did not have it in the bag. And there was one drive when the Jets took a 7-3 lead. It was the Rick Dalton gif. It was like, that's it. That drive right there. That's what Jets fans were dreaming about last year that went poof with an Achilles pop. That drive right there where Garrett Wilson was unstoppable. Breece Hall had some nice touches. Rodgers was in full command, and it looked easy. Right down the Niners defense, knife through hot butter. But that turned out to be a mirage. For one night. Aaron Rodgers had this to say about his performance, because this was also something I wanted to hear as well. New York media, Aaron Rodgers, this is the way how he handles his business. I was concerned about that, as you know, when he first arrived in New York. So to come up with a performance like that, that was definitely disappointing. It's just the first week. Wondered what he had would say, and certainly when the New York media would follow up, fishing for something. Check it out.
We expect greatness when we step on the field. There were moments, for sure. There were moments that felt really good, but not sustained. You know, felt like we could just get a first down, we'd be rolling. And we had those three and outs, which really hurt us. But, you know, I think a lot of stuff's correctable, which is great for coaches. It's frustrating for players because we know how close we were slash are. But no time for that. We're going to move on to Tennessee quickly. And then we got a game 4 days after that. So this is a tough opener for us, travel-wise and schedule-wise. But no excuses. We got to play better. I got to play better. And you know, we'll bounce back next week.
You were not happy with the way you played?
I can play better. Yeah, and I mean, I missed a couple throws. I missed the one to Garrett there, last drive I was in. You know, the pick I missed just slightly inside on that one. Yeah, I mean, I felt overall I was getting the ball out pretty good, but yeah, I had some opportunities. But I'd like back.
I mean, full accountability, and I didn't do. I mean. A lot of his guys let him down last night sometimes. You know, with the exception of a couple drives. But that Fred Warner is a grown-ass man, man. And yeah, and Bosa and the rest of that defense, that's a top five defense. And the Jets are supposed to have one too. Robert Saleh had this to say afterwards.
No, I thought he looked fine. His command was fine. We'll be better, 100%. Like I'm not worried. I mean, give San Francisco a lot of credit. I'm not worried offensively. I'm not worried defensively. We'll get it fixed. And credit to them. Like I said, it's a championship outfit, and they introduced us to some championship football, and we'll get that fixed.
I'm a fan of that guy, man, and I know a lot of Jets fans are getting a little bit tired because the Jets are supposed to be championship-quality defense and have an offense where Rodgers, when healthy, should have a host of options, not just throw it to the three guys that were catching passes last night against the defense that you have to diversify against in order to win because they're really good. So I'll just say this. If the defense likes Robert Saleh as much as I do, you better start playing. You can't let Jordan Mason come out there and hit you 28 times for $147. You just can't. You can't let, you know, a relative newbie on the offensive line like the Niners have at right guard and let him just start mauling you. You just can't. You can't. And I see all these Jets fans out there saying, oh, if they only had Hassan Reddick. This dude has never played for the Jets. He's got clearly no allegiance to the Jets. He's got a contract he wants redone. And I don't know if he would have done much last night, even though Purdy was relatively clean. And a defense that gave up, by the way, for the first time in as far as Elias could count back to 1978. The Niners scored in their first, they scored in eight straight drives. Not to start the game, but the eight straight drives they scored on. And if that defense wants to have Robert Saleh around, they got to step it up. Because that's a coach who, unfortunately, and Rodgers has admitted this, if it doesn't, if this is not the outlier, and this is the way the Jets are going to have a 2024 season, you know, I think that's a coach who's going to get got. And I think that would be unfortunate, to say the least. So, it is, however, a wake-up call for a lot of folks out there who think the Jets are going to the Super Bowl, because that looked like a Super Bowl. There was one team that looked like a Super Bowl team last night, and it was the one that made it for the NFC last year. But there is, again, a whole host of games to go. And I'll tell you this, they got to turn around and play a Titans team that I called the sleeper team in the AFC. I mean, they can buzz around.
They're frisky.
They're going to have, I mean, Garrett Wilson is going to look up and see L'Jarius Sneed right in front of him pretty much every single second.
Okay.
And Rodgers is going to look up and see Jeffrey Simmons right in front of him.
That's a frightening sight.
And then right around the corner are the currently undefeated New England Patriots.
Yeah. Who would have thunk it, Chris? Who would have thunk it?
There's that. New England's got a home date with Seattle. Got to go all the way across the country.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be
suddenly looks more winnable?
Somewhat of an M. Night Shyamalan twist to have the Patriots come in 2-0 and the Jets 0-2.
That would be shocking.
These are not. I mean, this is not out of the realm. But listen, I'm not. I'm just trying to shoot everybody straight with what I saw last night.
Yeah, time of possession too. Nearly 2-1.
Right.
And you had the one drive that was 7 minutes, and then your nine other drives were a combined 14 minutes. Just
right.
Not sustainable.
And it's a team game, man. Yeah. It's a team game. And I you know, Saleh's saying they'll fix it. So, and Robert, you got to trust, man. And Rodgers, like I said, headline, quarterback's healthy. Last year, didn't have it. That was our Monday Night Review presented by Lowe's, official partner of the NFL. It's easier to make the right calls with the right team. So kick off your next home improvement project with Lowe's. Lowe's knows home improvement. Let's take a break. When we come back, the head coach of the Chicago Bears will join us. Matt Eberflus, he's 1-0. So is Layers of Eberflus. I think we'll tell him about it.
Eberflus.
Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat? Your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code, RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets yet another way. That Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, You get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at game time checkout. And with game time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or game time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Back here on the program, I just pulled a Chris Berman, which is sitting directly down in my seat as we're returning. I watched Berman do that so many times.
Yeah, I was like, is he?
Dude, let me tell you, I watched Berman because he would do some baseball tonights after I'm doing some sports centers. And I would just see him. He wasn't late. Mm-hmm. He would be on the set just talking to everybody.
Right.
You know, and he'd be just like, hey, TJ, moving on up. Jefferson, that was his nickname for you, right? And Chris Crocodile Brockman, right?
Hey.
That was his nickname for you, right? Yeah. What was his nickname for you?
I don't remember.
I forget
Rich.
What his nickname
he
for you was.
He definitely gave me one.
Mine were Rich Betty Davis Eisen and or Rich Kaleidoscope Eisen.
Kaleidoscope Eisen.
He went Kim Carnes and then he went Beatles with me. So he would just be talking to everybody and then shows starting in three, you know, shows in a minute, Chris. Mm-hmm. And I'd be sitting there because I was just new to ESPN and new to TV and new to everything. I'd be like nervous. I'm like, is he going to sit down?
Well, right now I was like, wait a minute, are we running a tape? Because
and he would just be looking at the prompt like, are you ready? Are you ready?
Who's ready? I'm ready.
Who's ready? I mean, we're got a good show. Like, hey, and by the way, last night, great dinner. You know, like, and he would just, and he would be talking and it was like 10, 9, 8, and he would just sit down. And then, boom, on the air. Welcome to what baseball tonight. Yep. And I'm like, that's really that is impressive.
California. So I apologize to you for even doubting you. I'm sitting here looking at you, and I'm hearing 3-2. I'm like, are we rolling a tape? Like, what, are we not live? And then, boom, you were in the chair. So I apologize.
No, it's okay. You didn't say anything.
Well, I'm just saying, I doubted you in my mind a little bit. Is what I'm saying.
Doubted?
Mentally doubting me. Wordlessly, mentally doubting me. I appreciate your apology, even though I had no idea you had something to apologize about. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The head coach of the Chicago Bears has stopped by, everybody.
Hey,
he is 1-0, getting ready for a big Sunday night game in week 2 at the Houston Texans, fresh off a win against the Tennessee Titans, Matt Eberflus. How are you doing, coach?
I'm doing well. Great to see you, too.
Good to see you, man. So, hey, you're calling the defensive plays. Boom. Pick 6. Look at you. Just like the way you drew it up, right, Matt? Isn't that the way it works?
Well, you know, it always goes back to the players. You know, they did a nice job executing, and it was fun to see those guys score that touchdown.
I bet it was. Certainly, since it really put a capper to a day that featured a lot of offensive struggles. So let's start with that. How'd your quarterback come out of this game, Matt?
Yeah, I thought, you know, we always meet on Mondays after the game, and I thought his flow and his operation was good. I thought his disposition, body language, all the way through it. Again, so he didn't have the day that he wanted, but all those things were good. The communication was good on the field, on the sideline, during halftime, making the adjustments. And, you know, I thought he did some really good things, you know, in the 4-minute drive at the end. I did made some really cool completions during the course of the game. And again, I know he wants to play better and he's going to do that this week. But, you know, again, it's a learning process for these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I love that you say disposition and body language, because that's what I'm looking at. You know what I mean? Like, it's so rare to see a rookie quarterback, despite how successful Caleb Williams has been in his life, to see that guy just come in the National Football League like nothing's changed. Right. And so body language and all of that is very important. So were you keeping an eye on that during game one, Matt?
Yeah, we always talk about it. Him and I talk about it all the time. That, you know, there'll be a couple of people they look to. One will be the quarterback. The other will be the head coach and how we respond to adversity. Because you're going to have adversity during the course of a game and during the course of a season. And how we respond to it is everything. You know, we got to respond to it the right way with a can-do attitude. You know, find the adjustments, find the things that we need to do better and keep improving and understand, hey, the game's not over till it's over. We're always going to be fighting till the very last end. And he did that on Sunday.
So what did you see reviewing film or anybody else in your staff reviewing film of Caleb see that the Titans were effective in doing something that you think can be a quick fix, Coach?
Yeah, I would just say really it's just about going through the reads and going through the adjustments, you know, based on the coverage contours that you're looking at. And again, we're going to keep improving on those things. And really, I talked about after the game about the rhythm and timing with the receivers. You know, that's going to continue to build as we build upon these games, the continuity piece with the receivers, you know, and the quarterback. And that's going to happen naturally. And we got to really do a good job of fostering that during the course of practice.
So when did Caleb Williams have you? Did it, was it at Hello? I mean, when did you see him or start turning the page to knowing you had the first overall pick to saying that's the guy, Coach?
Yeah, I had a visit with him for about an hour and 20 minutes at the USC Pro Day the day before the Pro Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we just walked through his journey, you know, as a young man, as a football player, him and his family. And that's really where I got a chance to really know him as a person and, you know, really see the passion and the love he has for the game of football. And you got a chance to see all his teammates that were there supporting him and around him for those couple of days that we were there. And you could see he's got an infectious spirit in terms of bringing guys together. You know, we like to call multiplier. He's a 1+1=3 guy. And you could feel that right there during that USC visit. And that's kind of where he had me.
And so at any moment in it, I mean, like a specific moment, because I imagine you didn't have too many doubts going into that conversation, though, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say one moment. I would just say, you know, the love and support he had from his teammates and the way he supported them, that kind of was really cool to see. And that's kind of what you need from that position. You know, you got to be able to bring guys together. And he's got a really good personality, easy to talk with. And he fits right into our football team.
Is it true you were taking moments out of your top 30 visit with him since you were the only ones he had because he didn't take any others?
And it That's false. I was in my top 30 visits, and I do believe that, you know, we spent a lot of time with him when he was on this top 30 visit, no question. And but he's left a great impression with everybody in the building.
But I mean, just when you had a top 30 visit with him to start going through your playbook with him is what I was alluding to right there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we took every opportunity to, you know, start teaching the offense to him. And he did a great job also in the summer, you know, when he was away for a few weeks, leveling up and really learning the offense. And he came back in, you know, a few levels up when he left in the spring and had a really good training camp. And again, we're just going to keep building on these, you know, learning from these, you know, experiences and exposures that he had. This is his first in-game exposure, and we're going to learn from it and grow and keep improving.
And how is Rome Odunze? What can you tell me about his knee right now, Coach?
Yeah, so he had an MRI, you know, and he has MCL sprain, and it's a day-to-day deal. So we'll see where he is tomorrow on Wednesday, and that's what's going on there. And then again, we'll reassess it as we go, like it's day to day. And again, I know he's a super tough guy and he has his range of motion and has, you know, all those types of things that go along with that. But again, that is, has some pain to it, but we'll see where it goes.
No, and I understand, you know, coaches talking about injuries is the last thing you want to talk about, but it's possible we do see him on Sunday night is what you're saying.
Yes,
okay.
As right now, we'll reassess it as we go.
Yeah, as we're discussing. Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. How'd you like calling the defensive plays, Matt? How'd you like that?
I've always enjoyed that. I enjoy the preparation of that. I enjoy the in-game adjustments that you have to make. I've always enjoyed that. The last 48-hour preparation that you do, the sequencing of plays and how you're going to call things and then adjusting during the game. So that's enjoyable for me. and we'll continue to do it.
How do you then still remain focused on what's going on with the offense, even though, you know, Coach Waldron is handling that? But how do you, as the HC, handle this full plate now? How do you do that?
I think it's really good. I have an excellent defensive staff. Eric Washington is our defensive coordinator, and the rest of those guys have been with me for years, so they understand how we operate and the adjustments that we need to make. So it's pretty easy, and you know, in terms of that, you know, the in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments that you're making, and then I'm just over with the offense the entire time, managing the game, managing the timeouts, managing the challenges. You know, the margins in terms of when we're going for fourth downs in the quad zone and relaying those to Shane, you know, on first or second down. So he's getting prepared for those types of go for it situations. So, yeah, it's been relatively easy. I've been doing that for 3 years now. So it's pretty good.
And you making sure everybody's lined up on sides offensively, because my goodness, and we're seeing these the emphasis of flags in the first week of the season, talking about who's covering up who and who's lined up properly at the guard position. What do you think about that emphasis change and how it played out in week number one, Coach?
Yeah, I talked to the NFL sent a tape to us, mm-hmm. and we showed it to the players, you know, in terms of the offensive tackles, you know, breaking the waist, you know, of the center. And our guys do a really good job with that. And then, you know, the motions with the receivers, making sure that shaving towards the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we made a point of emphasis that on Friday, and we did a solid job of that during the course of the game. But again, those things are the rules are in place for a reason. I think the NFL officials do an excellent job enforcing those rules and communicating them to us. And again, there's always going to be some point of emphasis. You know, obviously the hip drop tackle was one of them last, you know, spring, and we haven't seen a bunch of that so far, and that's out of the game. And I really agree with that rule because, you know, it is a dangerous tackle, but there's always going to be a point of emphasis from the NFL.
Well, and the dynamic kickoff, you know, it seems like a third of the kicks got returned, and the average line of scrimmage for offensive setups was just shy of the 30-yard line. And, you know, you're, again, a defensive-minded coach. Obviously, you're a head coach, but it seems like a lot of your colleagues and maybe yourself are like, well, I'll just defend 70 yards. Is that your approach to the dynamic kickoff, Coach?
I think it really depends on who's returning the kick. You certainly would have a hard time kicking to Devin Hester. Yes. You would definitely kick that out.
Right.
But for sure. But, you know, we had some good covers last week. You know, we got him inside the 25 a couple times and we had some really good tackles, which we can create some takeaways during that time. You know, so we actually like kick and cover, but again, I think it depends on who we're playing against, and we'll be able to adjust that every single week.
Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears, here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, I've held off long enough. I've got a very important question for you, Coach, and you need to help me. If you don't mind, I'll use your very important time for this sort of thing. I've got a split screen here, and I'd like to have some help. I know that's Ryan Gosling on the left. Who's that on the right? On your screen, Coach. I don't understand.
What do you think? That's Rich Eisen right there.
Now, I came back from the combine. Okay. I came back from the combine and told this story. And the guys here in my studio did not believe me that somebody at a dinner that I was at in Indianapolis at the combine came up to the table and asked somebody at the table if me was either Rich Eisen or Ryan Gosling.
Why would we believe that?
And I still don't believe that.
Who was sitting next to me directly to my left at this dinner? Who was that?
I was.
That's correct. So you can attest this actually happened, correct?
Yes. 100% true. What? That is 100%
like,
true.
Coach, can I ask, how many bottles of red were flowing that night?
We were only a couple bottles in, so we were still okay. You know, we had eight people at the table, so we only had a glass or so.
That's right. Okay. We were fine. I mean, this is a working environment for all of us, TJ. Well, how dare you?
Well, I know it's a celebration.
Come
you're
on.
Together, you're hanging out, you know.
No, but do you have a question for Coach, Chris? Because clearly, you know, this happened. You understand what I'm saying?
Like,
this happened.
Like, how thick were the glasses on the person that asked? You know what I mean?
Coach.
He was of sound mind. He was of sound mind.
Okay.
He directly asked the question.
We dined out on that man for the rest of the night, figuratively. Wow. That was, dude, that was great. See, I'm glad we finally got you on here to confirm this, because my guys.
Of everybody else, Rich, we did ask him why in the heck would he ask that question.
Thank you. At least somebody did,
right?
Oh my gosh. All right, now here's another one for you. Help me out with this split screen. I know the guy on the left is Matt Eberflus. Who is the guy on the right? Who's that
same
guy?
It's the same guy right there. What? Looks like about 5 years younger or 6 years younger, maybe.
Dude, with the salt and pepper too, you look younger on the right. What is happening, Coach?
Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing that you grow some facial hair, and it's a big deal. But for me, it's a really good convenience. I don't have to shave every day.
Well, you know, I'm with you on that. It's the up here where, you know, obviously we're going our separate ways. When did we decide to pomade, or what do we got? What you got some sort of a Again, this is the sort of thing I haven't done in 20 years, so I'm curious. What are you putting in there? What's the fashion tip for you, Matt? Yeah, what are you doing?
It's not a lot. Not a lot. I used to put more in it when I was younger, and I don't put anything in it now. So just kind of leave it be, and a little bit of.
Come on.
That's it.
Leave it be. You don't wake up like that, do you? Look at this. Look at you. Come on, really?
My man's ready for business.
He wakes up on the glow up.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's convenient for me.
Okay, is it the missus gives a thumbs up, two thumbs up?
Oh yeah, you know it's Kelly all the way. So that's she's happy with it, so I'm happy. That's fine.
Okay, well, you've inspired us because again, the guy on the left, the guy on the right, being the same guy, which is great. It's why you're successful. It's why you are who you are. You have inspired us. We have named our Rich Eisen show. Fantasy team, Layers of Eberflus. That's it right there, with a very Chicago theme of Ferris Bueller. And there you are in the Museum of Art there, Coach. What do you think? What do you think?
That's Smithsonian, I think, maybe.
That's, yes.
Oh.
Yes, sir. And you'd be happy to know, even though obviously you probably don't care. Like you, we are 1-0. We're 1-0. Layers of Eberflus. And Paul Rudd chose the name as well. The actor came on the show, chose Layers of Eberflus. So you got that going for you, Coach.
Start of trend.
There you go. Coach, really appreciate the time. Best of luck Sunday night. We look forward to seeing you there on NBC and against the Texans. That is a significant opponent for you to try out your new quarterback on the road. And I imagine just one last question for you. What are you talking to him about? That's a loud place, man. That Houston is a very loud dome. What do you talk with Caleb about prior to this game Sunday night?
Yeah, just have really good operation. Obviously, you're going to have to deal with the noise, so we'll be preparing for that all week. You know, and just do a really good job of playing point guard. You know, distribute the ball to our skill, and let's get after it. You know, so to me, it's going to be a great challenge for our football team. You know, we all have to play well around Caleb, offense, of line, skill, special teams, and defense. And if we do that, we'll have a chance.
Coach, thanks for the time, man. It's really great to see you, and I appreciate you coming on this program, having some fun, and confirming for my guys that they could not believe this story. It did happen. Thank you.
Confirm.
Confirm. That is Matt Eberflus right here on the Ryan Gosling Show.
Oh, wow.
Fun stuff.
Wow.
Fun stuff. All right. Mike Tomlin is talking about who's starting for the Steelers next week.
Oh.
That's next. And the conundrum that is in front of him on that front when we return on the Rich Eisen Show with Mark Sessler and Dan Hanzus of the Heed the Call podcast in studio, hour two. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's $1 billion billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How are you, George?
I'm happy to be here, Rich. Are you, happy to talk to you again.
Are you really, George? We saw your Instagram, George. We saw it. We saw it.
You saw it?
I don't mean to interrupt what's going on. You know, you're on vacation with your wife, right? There in Cabo. Is that what's going on right now? Did I see that?
Hey, between you and me, and don't tell anybody else, yes. I am actually back in Nashville. That's from last week. I work in Cabo. Oh. Don't tell anybody.
And here I was, you know, say go say hi to McVay and go say hi to, you know, Stafford. But there you are. Okay, so this was last week. You were on the Okey-Doke.
Yeah, no, I was hanging out with Kyle Shanahan instead. Okay. That's kind of my...
That's your speed. Okay. Well, okay, yeah. Good. Now I don't feel as bad. I don't feel... I feel like
Rich, I'll go to Cabo with you too, man. You look like you know how to have a good time.
Well, here's my deal, George. Here's my deal. And this is it's not just because I'm a 51-year-old man. This is the way I've been my entire life. Tequila is a night ender for me. Like, literally, if it's 2 in the afternoon, which I would never really do these days anyway, it's over. My night's over. Finished. I know it's something like a blast, but, you know, it's true. Tequila and I just don't mix with tequila. Never have.
Rich, you should see the look that my dad just gave the phone after hearing you say that. That tequila's my day started when I was. What are we doing? All right, you should just come to Tennessee and we'll get that fixed for you.
Okay. So what is your...
It's a mindset and you just power through it.
Okay. It's a mindset. I never really thought about that. So what is your libation of choice when on vacation, George? What is it?
Ooh.
What's your go-to?
Well, besides Bud Light, I'm a big pina colada guy, and I absolutely I love tequila just in general.
Okay.
I'll drink that about anything.
YouTube channel, please check it out. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, NFL Sunday Ticket, baby. That multi-view, love watching four games at once, and the best part about it is this year you can choose your multi-view. The four games, you can choose from any game that's on and create your own multi-view feature all in one place. I love it. And it's on NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. When bundled together, you get the most live NFL games all in one place. That multi-view feature is a game changer for NFL and fantasy football fans alike. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital only games. Turzo in Iowa. His 49ers are 1-0. How are you, Turzo?
Oh, I thought I was calling the Ryan Gosling show.
You're on that show, pal. Come on. Didn't you see me in the extended Fall Guy on Peacock? Right here on Roku? I'm awesome in that, man.
Oh, it is awesome. Hey, so that was an enjoyable game last night, but I think I did predict the Niners to actually lose that game in the win-loss, and I was going to see if you wanted to check on that.
Let me check on your work here.
Oh, I think you're actually right about that.
So you said you had them losing this opener to the Jets?
Yeah, I think he's right about that.
I believe so.
Okay, let me see here. Terzo in Iowa. You caught me on I put this away figuring no one would need to know. Turzo and Iowa had them as, yeah. And you're the only win-loss San Francisco 49er picker to choose the O. You had them losing at the Rams, too, coming up.
Yep. So at this point, we got an extra win stashed away, so I'm happy about that.
Yes, sir.
I was kind of amazed how well we came together to play, and that was probably my reasoning and why I picked the Jets to win. Mm-hmm. Just all the kind of the turmoil that we had in the offseason.
Yep.
But bringing Trent Williams back in obviously shows that he is still one of the most dominant left tackles in the game.
That's why he's first ballot Hall of Famer. Literally 5 years after he says, I'm done.
Yep.
Give him a jacket.
Yep.
He is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And thanks for the call, Terzo. And that's why Lynch and the rest of that team, the squad is so great. You know, so great. Trent Williams wants out of Washington. We'll take him. Christian McCaffrey's available because Carolina's moving in another direction. We'll take him. We'll figure out the rest down the road. And that whole business of like, hey, whoever's, you know, they can't keep both Debo and Ayuk. and one of them is going to be made available, and it was Ayuk if he wasn't going to sign.
Right.
And if he does sign, maybe Debo can be made available at the end of October. No chance. Why would you break that up? I guess you can't pay everybody, and Purdy is going to make $60 million
a year. Yeah.
I'm telling y'all, it's happening. You might sit there and go, he's not elite, he's not this, he's not that. That guy is he's going to have an annual salary that starts with a six. And if he performs as well as I think he can, the $65.5 million one-year contract extension that Steph Curry just signed with the Warriors might just have him as the second highest paid athlete in the Bay Area. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Now then, Mike Tomlin is an interesting choice at quarterback because Justin Fields, did he light the candle? Did he light the fire? They had six field goals.
Yep.
But he didn't do anything stupid. honestly.
I know. It's just
he didn't Will Levis a couple things.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
He kept it.
Is that how we're saying that?
On the,
when
well,
you're falling
I mean,
to the ground. He didn't Will Levis it.
I'm shorthanding it. And that's unfortunate because Will Levis did perform well outside of.
He just had that one kind of.
Right. As Chris Long said, he tried to be Brett Favre. He's not Brett Favre is what he said. But
right.
I'm sorry that Will caught astray here. But I'm just shorthanding it. He didn't do anything that cost the team. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Kurt Warner said this week one was some of the worst quarterback play he's seen in a single week, maybe ever, when he's watching film. And I'm not saying that about Justin Fields. What I am saying is that if your quarterback performed well enough to give you a win in a world of football where there's not a lot of continuity coming out of training camp and preseason anymore, and the last thing you want to do is start switching quarterbacks around. So Fields did well enough to come up with the win, and he did well enough where you got to sit here and think, maybe a second week in a row is what we deserve and we should see play out. The only question is, how do you tell that to Russ when this week you're in Denver? And the coach that basically said, I am absolutely fine sending you home for Christmas or after Christmas. That was Christmas Eve when they lost to the Patriots. And he told Sean Payton, told Russ, we're done here. And then in the weeks after said, maybe we're not done here. And then created the largest dead cap hit in history and sent you into that brave new world. And you sign with the team and they are going to go into this man's house and you can make him personally, make him 0-2 in front of the Broncos fans. And you feel maybe you're healthy enough to play, as he definitely did where in week one, because they wouldn't have taken him on the flight otherwise. How do you tell that guy you're not starting? Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say about his quarterback situation just moments ago.
He feels better today than he did over the weekend. And so what that means, I don't know as we sit here today. We're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it. Speculation is a waste of time. Russell's hurt. He's not available to us. And so, as you guys know, as a general practice, man, I focus my energy on those that are available and their readiness. Just saw Justin. He just finished a good workout here today and excited about maybe going through a complete week with him in terms of the preparation process. But again, we'll take it day by day. Russ is not scheduled to work in totality tomorrow. To what degree, I do not know. And then we'll play it by ear from there based on the results and the things that we see in terms of whether or not we consider him and to what degree we consider him.
Day by day and thus week by week right now.
Wow.
Didn't see this one as the way this would play out. Because you got to figure Justin Fields keeps getting opportunities, and as long as they keep winning, they're not going to switch it up.
Yep.
So if Russ is not available, that's one way to say we're going with Justin Fields. If it's just like, hey, we like Justin Fields, that's an entirely different situation. Mark Sessler and Dan Hansu's coming up. That said, what if Russ is sitting around thinking, I can do this? I can do this. Just give me a shot. Because he's got to want to play. I mean, if you put the Steelers schedule up, the game that he circles, like if you handed him this schedule the day it came out, the one that he would circle more than any has got to be week two. It's just got to be week two.
Yeah, without question.
And here he is. But Tomlin's basically saying, as you know, I'm talking about the guys who are available, and he is not available to us, and we'll see how he works out tomorrow. Now, he could be playing cat and mouse with Sean Payton about preparing.
Maybe.
Because I imagine that's not much of a cat and mouse game, because he'll just prepare for Justin Fields. He knows exactly what Russ can do.
Right.
So I don't know if this is cat and mouse. This could be straight up. And the question is if with each passing week that Fields gets the start, and with each passing week that they come out with a win, no matter whether you're hanging the win in the Louvre or not, how do you switch it up?
Well, I mean, Fields, he played well enough to win the game.
Correct.
And like I said all offseason, this offense doesn't have to do much. Just let the defense win the game for you.
Which it did.
It's not like he's doing stuff that's going to make it impossible to go back to Russ, is he?
Maybe you just keep playing the hot hand, but that's the way it's playing out in Pittsburgh.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
What is the path of least resistance with highest ROI?
New episodes available every day.
People oftentimes are paying very close attention to what the Fed does to get signals on what's going to happen with mortgage rates, and it's completely wrong way thinking.
Whether it's real estate, on the market, rookie, or money.
And you can make just 6% on a deal, you can retire next month.
The Bigger Pockets podcasts are on YouTube or wherever you listen.